Hey everyone, welcome to the Plus Platoon. We're a Disney Plus fan podcast that gives honest, spoiler-filled reviews of movies and shows on Disney Plus. We'll look at new releases, coming attractions, and we'll even go back into the vault to revisit some of the classic Disney that's on the platform. Make sure you're subscribed and you will never miss a moment. I'm going to be in Pete this week. Pete, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing good, Derek. I don't even have a joke tonight, sorry.
Yeah, not a lot of humor in this week's show.
No.
So. And we've got Steve. Steve, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Good to see you, both of you.
Yeah, it's you know, I think it's going to be a slice. So, so this week, guys, we watched the animated series Maul Shadow Lord. And I'm going to let Pete, our resident Star Wars expert, kind of give us our 2-minute synopsis of the season. And again, very, very spoiler filled. So,
okay. Yeah, it might be more than 2 minutes, but I'll do my
two
best.
Two minutes works.
Yeah.
Or longer.
Yeah. So, we come into the series. This takes place after episode 3. So the Empire is in, and Palpatine is in full power. There's, you know, stormtroopers and inquisitors everywhere. Maul kind of, since he came back in the Clone Wars, he has kind of two modes. One, he wants revenge on Palpatine, and two, he wants to take over crime syndicates. And so we come into this story with him on some planet. I can't remember. It isn't Janix. Coruscant, but it kind of looks like it.
Yeah.
Did you say it was?
Janix.
Janix. Okay. And he
I heard that before? Okay. What else has happened on Janix?
I don't know.
Was it something in Rogue One, maybe?
Maybe.
Okay. Anyway, sorry.
That's okay. So he comes into the story and basically he's come to this planet to kind of try to take over part of the crime syndicate here. There is a, at the time of the story starting, the Empire has not really gotten a hold of this planet. And so the police officer that's in charge of the investigation is sort of trying to keep the Empire out of it, even though they discover that it's Darth Maul that's here and they know he's wanted by the Empire. So he is kind of trying to keep it a secret. In addition, there is a Jedi and a Padawan that have escaped from being killed at the end of the
Order 66.
Order 66. And they're trying to hide out on this planet, and of course Maul showing up kind of complicates things for them. Maul discovers them and he spends some time trying to persuade the young Padawan to become his apprentice. That's kind of Darth Maul's other mode through any story shows up in, as he's trying to get somebody to be his apprentice. And nobody does. Anyways, so there ends up, in the end, they end up calling the Empire, comes and gets involved, Inquisitors get involved. So now we kind of have the side with Maul, and he has, you know, he has people working for him. You have the Empire, and then you have this police officer, his son, and then the two Jedi. They end up kind of teaming up together, trying to get off the planet. In the end, they kind of all come together. Maul and the Jedi and the officer end up working together through circumstance that they're all trying to get off the planet. And again, Maul wants to get this Padawan. The last couple of episodes are basically them trying to escape. They end up fighting a couple Inquisitors. And then right at the end, Darth Vader shows up and the Jedi is killed. This again, spoiler alerts, right? The Jedi is killed. I think the officer is killed too, though we don't know that.
So.
For sure. They kind of do it in a way that you think he is, but you don't see that. You definitely see the Jedi is killed. And then the Padawan is now mad enough that she is going to go off with Darth Maul. But they do get away. And also the son, I think, ends up going with them too, right?
Yes.
At the end. So the son, the Padawan, so the two young kids go with Maul, and the most of Maul's followers are killed as well, if not all of them. So we get a lot of characters end up dying in this thing. I don't remember, is Two Boots make it out? That's the droid.
No.
Nope.
Oh, wait. Well, there's the one droid that got sliced.
No. This is the humanoid droid.
Yeah.
Working with the police officer.
I don't remember him. Steve will look it up.
Yep.
But, okay.
So that's basically as quick a summary as I can do.
Oh, and Maul takes over the Scarlet Pumpernickel or something like that. The Red Hand or
one of the syndicates. Yeah.
Because it's the same syndicate that at the end of the Solo movie, he is a part of, and the girl.
Oh, Crimson Dawn.
Thank you. Yes. Yeah. And is that the sequel to Crimson Tide, or is that like,
yeah, that's the you know, Crimson yeah. Tide, Crimson Dawn, Crimson Night.
Yes.
Yeah. So Sozzi Two Boots does survive because Captain Lawson basically sacrifices himself, or that's what we're led to believe. So Two Boots and his son, Riley, can get on the ship.
Okay. So okay, question, Pete, and this has a little to do with what this is, the if the rule of two with the Sith, right?
Right.
If Maul's not really dead, how did he un-Sith?
Well, so at the end of episode two, he's cut in half. Episode one, yeah. He's cut in half. And everybody thinks he's dead, including Palpatine. So Palpatine brings in Dooku as his
right
number two. So he doesn't know the Maul is alive until during the Clone Wars.
Which is the animated series.
The animated series, yep, that takes place between episode two and three. So I think in this particular case, Maul isn't technically a Sith, because he was, like, even though he still has a red lightsaber, but he was, like, you know, basically thrown away by Palpatine. Palpatine thought he was dead, right?
Which was a fair assumption.
It was a fair assumption. He was cut in half. So, you know, we all thought he was dead for a long time till he showed up in Clone Wars. But yeah, for those that don't know, he's got his bottom half is like android, which is how he gets around. And they showed that a lot in this by having him get like kind of injured in his leg and it sparking all the time and everything. So, okay. But yeah, so I don't think he counts as a Sith anymore.
Okay. I was just because I know that's, you know, they say there's two, there always are, but then that gets kind of murky.
It gets pretty murky anyways, because then they also have all these Inquisitors that are working for Vader, right. Yep. They're not technically Sith either, but they use the Force, yeah, and they use lightsabers. So I don't know. It's
okay.
It's kind of a vague, Like Captain Jack says, they're more like guidelines than actual rules.
Rules, yeah, fair enough. So, all right. So, what lit us up like a lightsaber? What really worked in this? And Pete, I will let you start this.
What I found I was really enjoying in this were the lightsaber fights that happened throughout the show. It really made me realize, because they've been doing a lot with live action of like playing down lightsabers, or either having like people that aren't that good at lightsabers do lightsaber battles, and then like watching this done in animation, which, you know, it's animation, so it's not, it shouldn't be as exciting as live action, but boy, they did them really well. And I mean, there was the one on the train was really good, and then the ones at the end were really excellent. And then, like, again, spoiler, Darth Vader show, like, everybody's like doing the usual like dueling, dancing around and everything like that, and then Darth Vader shows up and he just starts pounding on people. Mm-hmm. And it's like his like, you can just see his style, that he's just using brute strength versus like any kind of defense. And I just got, it made me like, oh, can we just get, like, you know, I don't love the prequels, but gosh, they had lightsaber battles in them, and like, I want lightsaber battles back. Can we get a Star Wars?
But I don't need CGI Yoda lightsaber battle.
No, not that one. But like the you know, the Darth Maul, yeah, one was really, yes, good. The, yep, one between Anakin and Obi-Wan was really good. You know, give us some like really good, and even like what was the Acolyte, which was not very good. There were some pretty good
lightsaber battles. Were okay in that.
Yeah, Yeah. I mean, that was the best part of the show, was the lightsaber battles. The plot and the characters were not great. So that was the thing I really liked about it. It's like, oh man, give me more of this. What about you, Steve?
I would concur with you on that. I'd also say the animation. There were some couple scenes where I was just blown away by the animation. I think there's one, like when Maul was looking at his reflection in water, and then just how really realistic that looked, and then realizing it was animation. So I think that was a standout for me. And then some really good voice acting. The Jedi, the green guy, I can't remember his name, took me forever to recognize the voice.
Dennis Haysbert. Yeah.
But it took me a while. Like, where did I know the voice from?
I kept waiting for him to sell me insurance.
or you know, talk about Jabu.
I knew him from 24, the president in 24.
Yeah, the president.
That's where I was like, I know this voice. I guess the animation was really a standout. So yeah. What about you, Derek?
It was really good.
My big thing is I'm going to have to second Pete with the lightsaber battles. Again, this shows us what lightsaber battles could be. And then this actually got my son and one of his friends and I into a discussion of, okay, the physics of the how, you know, the blade would technically not weigh anything, or weigh, right, would weigh very, very, very little. So any adaptation to, so all you'd really be flopping around is the hilt. So they should be able to move much, much faster than everyone can normally move them in.
Like real life,
in sword fights, because in sword fights, they actually, in the live action ones, they actually have a blade on there.
Right.
So it's, that's why I think animation work, because again, the blades would be essentially weightless. Yes, it's plasma, but it would be essentially weightless. So I just think that's why animation can make it good, because you can have it literally flying around super, super fast, because all you're really doing is spinning the handle, which doesn't weigh as much.
Though quite honestly, and they didn't use it a lot, one thing I hate with lightsabers are the Inquisitor's spinny lightsabers.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And like, they always got to do it. And it's because, like, all the Inquisitors have that. And I'm always like, this is so stupid. You would, like, be cutting yourself all the time.
Lightsabers on the Tron ring. Yeah.
You'd be like, you'd have it on your back and you'd accidentally light it and cut your own head off. And just like, They're real. I mean, they look cool for a split second, but like, the idea behind it is, seems to me to be super silly. I wish they would stop doing that.
That's fair.
I'm good with Maul's double blade.
Blade one, fine.
Fine. Yeah.
Sure. Okay. So that's what lit us up. What should have been sliced? What did not work in this? And Steve, I'll let you start.
I felt like the secondary characters were very one note and they didn't go into depth. Like, I want to know more about Devin. If Devin's having this turmoil, I felt like they did not play that up more of really trying to explain what was going on with her. What?
Why?
Yeah. Yes. And then also like she knew who Maul was, but it was never really explained how she knew Maul. Am I correct?
Right. Yeah, I
think it was just like that. And then also the end with the spoilers, it was like sort of predictable what was going to happen. So yeah. I think the ending, that was weak, but also just I want to know more about the other characters. Like, if we're going to go into season two with Devin, right now I don't really care. So,
and that was my biggest thing, is it couldn't get me to care. And it couldn't get me to... Why is this story important other than it's how Darth Maul became head of Crimson Dawn? I mean, because I'm guessing, and Pete would have to do on this, this is after Clone Wars and after Bad Batch, correct?
Yes, but before what we see in the Han Solo movie.
Well, right. Okay. But my question is, have we, other than Maul, have we met any of these other characters before?
No.
Okay. Then no one told me why I should care about Devin. No one told me why, other than Maul. You got to have Maul, and I'll be honest, my second favorite part was when Darth Vader showed up. Just because, okay, I knew, A, his appearance was, you know, was the very Vader. He shows up, and all of a sudden, the lightsaber lights up, and you see it reflect on the goggles, and it's great.
Yeah.
Other than that, it was very much, you knew Maul wasn't going to die.
Right.
You knew the Jedi was, you knew the officer was. I mean, as Steve says, those were fairly predictable deaths. I would not have had them both die in the last episode.
Yeah, I thought that I was a little surprised by the officer. I totally agree with you that having the Jedi die was telegraphed from like
the beginning.
And then I didn't know that the officer was going to die, but I guess they set that up by, you know, leaving his son with them, that I guess he will probably want revenge, I guess.
But like you said, Pete, it was not ever clarified. It was very like assumed. So I could see season two.
Yeah.
Him still being alive.
No, yeah. Right. Yeah. We may find out that he survived. I don't know. Okay. Are you done, Derek?
Go ahead.
Okay. So I agree with what both you're saying. The other thing is, I don't really like Maul as a character, to be quite honest. He's a very one note character. He wants power and he wants revenge on Palpatine, and everything involves that. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, they tried to, and the thing is, they always try, not always, but they try to make him like somewhat sympathetic in this, which is,
well, if he's your main character, they want you to try and feel sorry for him.
Right, but like, I'm not going to feel sorry for him. He's a bad guy from the beginning, and he's never not a. But there's never a point in his story that he's not a bad guy.
Right.
so don't try to do that with me, you know. And so like, I kind of agree with you. Like, Maul is not a great character, and he's the only one I know. So you got to give us other characters we care about. Now, I thought they did okay with the police officer guy as a character. I can never remember his name.
Yeah. Lawson.
Yeah. I thought that, you know, that he's like, he wants to do the right thing, but he also is trying to protect
the necessity of protecting his son. Yeah.
Yeah. And he's trying to, you know, so
he was probably the deepest character of all of them.
Right. That's what I'm saying, is I thought he was of the characters, period. I thought he was the best character, and unfortunately he didn't make it out. So like I was happy when they were focusing on him. I agree with your take on Devon, is that we need more backstory on her, other than that she's a Padawan and her master got killed, because that's kind of, you know, we've seen that half a dozen times probably already. So, you know, let's give her some reason that she's willing to go along with Maul, other than that her master is killed. So I guess, you know, that's what I'm saying with you guys. For season two, give me more reason why she's agreeing to this, and, you know, what is it, you know, just the hatred of the Empire, or is there something more behind us? Give us how she got here. I guess I would like more, because she is very one-dimensional right now. And she is the, you know, the second main character, especially now that Lawson's dead. You know, it was really her, Lawson, and Maul as the main characters. And, you know, again, Maul's boring.
And I don't really care about her.
Right. No, I agree with you. They haven't done a good job of making us really care about her, because we only know her in relation to Maul and to, you know,
and
I also think I'm remembering a president. What was he when he was the president on 24? I think of that as him too, but
And I'm sorry, you're gonna have a Padawan who struggles with her master not doing what she wants to, and she's just a different colored Ahsoka.
Yeah,
you can't have her look different. I mean, I'm just.
Well, she is actually a different. She is a Twi'lek, and Ahsoka is. I forget what Ahsoka is.
Well, but I mean, you get what I'm saying.
They look similar. Yes,
they look very, very similar. So it's And the other, the secondary characters, a lot of them look like turtles without their shells.
Yes.
Or the Jedi looks like an armadillo. I mean,
yeah.
Right.
So, okay. So we've got the main sequels. We've got Rogue One. We've got Solo. We've got a couple live action series, and we've got this. We've got Clone Wars. We've got Bad Batch. Does Star Wars work as an animated show for you? And Pete, I'll let you start because I'm guessing the answer is probably yes.
Oh, for me, 100%. I am not a big defender of Clone Wars. There's a dozen great episodes in there, but it's like 150 episodes. So it's a lot of really tough to watch stuff. A lot of it is not good animation. But since then, since Disney has taken over, Rebels is probably my second favorite thing that Disney has done next to Andor. I think Bad Batch has really good stuff in it. And I think this also has some good stuff in it. I would probably put it below those other two. But I'm enjoying this show for what it is so far. They do typically get better in their animated shows with, I don't know why it is. I mean, the weakest season of Rebels is definitely the first season. The weakest season of Bad Batch is the first season. So, you know, I'm hoping we're going to get some improvements as this goes into its second season. But yeah, Star Wars, I think Star Wars works great as an animated show. And I've liked a lot of, parts of Visions. That's very hit or miss. And I think in our news, we're going to talk about more of that coming. But I think it works as an animated show. What about you, Steve?
It does. It's taken me a while to get used to going from like live action into animation, of getting that mentality switch. With Rebels, it took me probably 5 or 6 episodes to really to get into it and switch. And like, I enjoyed this one. I like sort of the crime drama aspect of it. So once it got going, it was better. So I guess it takes a while to get to that mental shift.
Yeah.
And I will say I have not made that mental shift with Star Wars as animated. Just animated Star Wars for the majority of it does not work for me. Especially if you're trying to get me into characters that also show up in live action. Actually, I would argue that Maul and Darth Vader were the two characters that worked best in this, right? Because they had live action. Okay, was the guy who did Maul does the voice, right? The actor who played Maul in one?
No.
Okay.
It's not the same voice.
Okay.
This guy did do the voice he's done the voice
in all the animated stuff?
Since, yeah.
Okay. That's fair. I, as a general rule, have a hard time caring about a lot of animated characters, not in like a feature. To me, a feature film is different. A feature film, right? That this was, yes, they were only 25 minute episodes. So they were really 20, but there were 10 of them. So that's 200 minutes of realistic action. And which is like 3.5 hours almost. And the choppiness of it, I think, hurts it in the fact that I have to convince myself to go on rather than it just flowing easier. I think a feature-length Star Wars cartoon movie might work, but the series, the episodic 20-minute little clips.
Mm-hmm.
A, it breaks up the story too much, and you have to like essentially retell little parts of it. That, like, if this was 200 minutes of action, it probably could have been down. It probably could have been 140, 145 minutes, if they had really wanted to. Because there was some stuff in the middle that they could have cut out.
For sure,
do you think it would have been better if they did like 40 minute episodes, only had like 5 episodes?
I think. Well, I honestly think it would have been better if they're going to stick with 20 episodes. They could have cut it down to at least 8. There was 2 episodes worth of stuff they could have gotten rid of just because it was just, especially like the multiple crime syndicate stuff. I get it. You take over one and then, okay, you've done it multiple other times. We get it.
Yeah.
So, and that's what they had to do to keep Maul involved, because otherwise he didn't do much. So I have a hard time connecting to, and a lot of times it's anime characters, and a lot of times it's because they don't look like, I don't know if it's the animated style of Star Wars. A lot of the Star Wars stuff I don't like. The stuff that has taken from the Clone Wars look.
I get that, because I don't, the animation style of Star Wars is not, I mean, it's improved a lot. And I agree with Steve. There were some really nicely done animation in here. Yeah. I loved the painterliness of Maul. And some of the other stuff that they really like gave his features texture and things like that. But it's taken Star Wars a long time to get to the point that the animation is decent. And the organic character. And again, if you ever watch Clone Wars, the animation, quite honestly, is horrible.
Horrible.
For at least the first five seasons, and it gets a little better, but. Yeah, so I get what you're saying, for sure.
Okay. So, any other thoughts on Maul as a show? Do we know there's going to be a season two?
Yes, there is.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So, well, as we always do, we've watched a season, we watched a full movie, we do cups of pixie dust rating, we do cups out of five for Maul as a set, as a season. Pete, what do you give Maul?
I'm going to give this, it's kind of on the edge of a 2.5 to a 3 for me. I'm going to give it a 3 because of some of the lightsaber battles. I would go back and watch certain episodes again. The last two episodes, there's maybe one or two others. I don't think I would ever sit down and watch the whole season. So that leans me towards the 2.5, but I'm going to give it a 3 in that, you know, for a show, to make me, I'll go back and watch some of it. That's a 3. So I'll give it a 3. Steve?
I'm giving it a 3. I liked the animation. I liked sort of the dark crime saga. That's sort of up my alley. So I enjoyed it. I mean, I don't watch things usually again, but
right.
I'll give it a 3.
I'm going with a 2. Just because you're right, the last couple episodes, I mean, if we're going to have to watch, because, you know, going into season, when we do season two, you're going to have to do at least a little bit of a recap. Watching the last two episodes with that, them basically being mostly lightsaber battles and fighting and stuff actually happening.
Yeah.
It worked. So, but that's about, to me, that's about the only part of it that did work. So, I guess technically 20% would be 1 out of 5, but it's above a 1 for me.
Yeah.
But it's a solid 2 for me. Okay. So. Not the best thing they've done, by far not the worst thing they've done.
Yeah. I mean, I guess what I would say to this, generally to me, like Star Wars is, the levels of Star Wars are to me, it's like movies, TV, and then animation. And like, if you're just a casual fan, you can just watch, if you meet a casual fan, then you say, oh, I like this movie, I didn't like this movie. The TV shows is getting a little deep. When you get to the animation, that's getting in really deep. For sure. And so, you know, there's not like, so if I knew someone was a pretty big Star Wars fan, I would recommend this. But as a casual fan,
and I would say I'm more casual. I like some of the movies, like some of the TV shows that I've watched. I would argue I like okay, except for The Acolyte. I think I like most of the TV shows better than I liked this. So does that make sense?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And I agree with that, actually. Good. I think most of the TV shows have been better, except The Acolyte was not great. And Book of Boba Fett was not great either until
Mandalorian. The second half was when it was Mandalorian 2.5.
When Mandalorian showed up, but yeah.
Yeah. So, okay. We do have one thing for Disney Plus news this week, and it does kind of tie in. From Star Wars Visions, they have done in those two seasons, they did two different episodes out of, was it two episodes out of the plot line of the Ninth Jedi?
Yeah, season one and season three.
Season one and
this,
season three.
This animation studio did like a 15-minute short.
Right.
With the same characters.
Of the same characters. They have announced that there's going to be a 8 or 9 episode series coming out of basically continuing from those two shorts to essentially an animated season series of the story of the Ninth Jedi. And from what I remember, that was about that was pretty much the one that we all liked about the best, especially from season three.
Yeah, I think so. That was the one where the girl ends up on a spaceship and there's like a little robot there and she's trying to rescue his master, but it turns out he's already dead or something like that.
And he's been dead for a while.
Right.
Yeah.
That's that one. I think generally most of us like that. I think maybe Steve didn't.
So I don't remember. Yeah. So anyway. Okay.
I'm kind of ho-hum on this because I'm not super into the Visions, especially the ones that are all anime. So
yeah.
Will I watch it? Probably.
Yeah.
But my expectations are low.
That may be one where we'll watch it and then honestly, if it's not great, we may not review it on here.
Yeah.
So, and especially not give a full episode to it.
Yeah, because that's even like I don't think that's even considered like
no
canon.
It's not.
Right. So it's even a lower level of animation than the
yeah. So yeah.
I think it's set like in the future of
I think
like,
it is
after yeah. everything that we
especially the Ninth known. Jedi one is yeah. like hundreds of years in the future.
That's what I mean. It's yeah, the, this series will be not related at all practically.
Correct.
Other than again.
And yeah, I think in theory there's one that shows potentially like the Darksaber showing up, but it is apparently not the same Darksaber that's in Mandalorian.
Mm.
So who knows? Okay, next week we are going to jump way back into the vault. We are going to look at 1959's Shaggy Dog. Fred McMurray, Tommy Kirk, and it's, you know, Tommy Kirk turns into a dog.
Is it Tommy Kirk?
It is,
huh?
It okay. is Tommy Kirk. Cool. Yes. So that's what we got next week. We got some. We're going to be hitting a few more animated things later this summer and this fall, just because there's some anniversary ones that have come out. But if you've got suggestions on what you want us to see, please email us at plusplatoon@gmail.com. We need your suggestions. We're sometimes tired of picking what we want to watch. We want to know what you want to watch. And if you want to come on and talk about it, we love having guests. So send us a suggestion. Again, it's plusplatoon@gmail.com. Message us on YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, X, anywhere, Facebook. We answer any and all comments. We have new episodes that come out every Thursday on YouTube and all the major podcasting services. For Pete and Steve, Kate and Gina in absentia, we will see everyone next week. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Thanks for watching this week's episode of the Plus Platoon. Be sure to subscribe to the Plus Platoon podcast to keep getting great content each week. Then head over to Apple Podcasts and leave those 5-star reviews as they help make the Plus Platoon visible to even more Disney Plus fans. Also, go to YouTube and like and subscribe to the Plus Platoon channel where you can watch all future episodes live. If you have a question for the Plus Platoon, please send us an email to plusplatoon@gmail.com or connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram @PlusPlatoon.
The Plus Platoon is a Disney Plus fan podcast and is not affiliated with the Walt Disney Company or the Disney Plus streaming service. All opinions expressed on the show are solely those of the individual hosts and in no way reflect the views of the Walt Disney Company.
Thanks for watching, and be sure to stay tuned for next week's episode because the Plus Platoon is to be continued.